Welcome to Circuit Breakers podcast number two, or episode number two. You've got Jay.
Hey.
And Jax. And today we have a special guest.
Hey everyone, I'm Chirag. You can follow me on Twitter at Chicago Gupta. Excited to be here.
And as always, Jay, you are?
I am Jay at Blue Jay Concepts, and I am just all things media, man.
And you're busting out the total deep voice.
Yeah, I listened to the first podcast. I got to change it up and just, you know, can't be all squeaky.
Right on. All right, so let's get into it. I guess the first thing we want to kind of go over is, Jay, you've got a couple of things. You've got Autodesk is doing some interesting things.
Yes, so I was reading an article, and Autodesk announced a new incubator partnership for some of their programs. So if you're trying to do CAD or anything like that, and going from, we all know that hardware is pretty much hard, but we're trying to basically have it to where it's a little bit easier now. So Autodesk is partnering up with a lot of hardware accelerators across the country so that they can improve how to get your product out. One stat that I wanted to talk about was in 2014, venture capitalists funded hardware startups alone, and it reached about $1.5 billion. So as startups are starting to take on hardware and come up with different prototypes, Autodesk wants to get in and actually help out. So they're actually becoming, you know, hey, one of the good guys for getting your product out relatively easy. So I thought that was interesting. Found the article on Solid Smack. It's solidsmack.com, and one of their topics is CAD. So if you want to go in and look at that article, you can basically find it there.
Yeah, the other interesting thing about that is Autodesk, a couple of weeks ago, it's really funny because, as always, we're on the same page, and Autodesk a couple of weeks ago had posted this thing on Facebook saying, hey, if you're interested in Autodesk, come by. We're going to buy you a round of Topgolf and just listen to what we've got to say. And they've got some really interesting things going on in a help studio as well, so you can partially create whatever you're creating and take it to them, and they will help you finish out the CAD design or finish out whatever you're trying to create it. And then also you've got a cool little game you found through this as well, right?
Yes. So I found a game. One of my coworkers at work walked up to me because he knows I'm huge in Node.js, and he was like, hey, have you heard of this game called Screeps? And I was like, okay, is this like something like TLC, the one when I creep or something like that? So I was like, all right, what is this? So it's a MMO game that allows developers and programmers to program their characters. So think like World of Warcraft, but instead of you basically just pressing a couple of buttons, you're actually programming your characteristics and the movements of each individual player in this game. So starting out, they have a tutorial that teaches you how to build a worker. So the worker has, you basically do a function, you call it build, and energy as methods and functions. So in the end, you're building a full Node.js application. You're making all the characteristics modular. You're building out your attackers, your defenders, and everything with Node.js packages. It is pretty cool. They just launched, I do believe, on August 12th. You can pay to increase your different methods that you want to do, and it's thought about it as you can do no bots and create little like no bots vacuum or anything like that by programming these guys. So it's pretty cool. I think everybody should check it out. It's screeps.com.
So turning it over to Chirag a little bit, that could have been used by the hackathon this weekend. So you want to
definitely last night's hackathon over at Node was really cool. It was called Can Hacks. If you want to look it up, it stands for Code All Night. It was run by actually a whole bunch of high school students around North Texas who are really just really deep into coding. Some of them wrote their own operating systems. Some of them started playing with hardware as well. So one of the teams brought their own kind of hardware kit and wired up this robot, and they hooked it up through Bluetooth so they could control it with their phone. And they had a pretty clean live demo and built the whole thing in under 12 hours. So that was pretty impressive. And yeah, maybe they could definitely be a good fit for some of those tools Jay was talking about.
Yeah, and they even learned the Bluetooth stack in 12 hours too, which was kind of surprising. Yeah,
that 12 hours?
Totally blew my mind. Like,
I'm blown right now. Like, my mind's just blown on that.
Yeah, and these kids are really, really young. They're really, really young. Okay, so yeah, that and you found we've all been getting hit by this accelerator. So Jay, you found the guys who run this accelerator. There's a hardware accelerator coming to Dallas called UbiDoc.
Yeah. Well, the guy that works for UbiDoc, it's called Rebel. And I was like, what is Rebel? We all know we've been just wanting some type of hardware accelerator, conversation going on. There's been things here and there. We don't know. But I seen that it was Rebel Hardware Accelerator for Dallas on Twitter. And then just things just started rolling. I was like messaging this person. I was messaging that person. I was like, who runs this? So finally got some info. Michael, everybody knows Michael S. I try to say his last name sometimes, and I'm just like, how do I pronounce it? So I don't want to butcher.
Sitarzewski.
See, thank you. Thank you. So it's a gentleman by the name of Izzy DeCheria, I think. He's actually the CEO, I do believe, of UbiDoc. So he's trying to put some things together and looking at UbiDoc. I mean, I would love to kind of have him kind of explain what he's doing with this new hardware accelerator and some of the challenges and things that he's done with UbiDoc. So that, I think that would be interesting for a future episode, possibly.
Yeah, as far as I know, UbiDoc, I think their current product that they build is kind of like a multi-device charging station, basically. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it'd be cool for them to, since they've proven out that they can build hardware and launch products in that space, I think it'll be cool to see what they're able to pull off with this new hardware accelerator. What's it called again?
Rebel. Cool. You can go to their site and sign up for updates. I think it's rebeldfw.com. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Very cool.
We've got that. And then also kind of in that same area, IEEE and at DFW Accelerator, which I think is now the DFW Innovation Space, which is kind of where this whole CanHacks started. So just rewind from the CanHacks. So what happened with CanHacks is the reason it ended up at Node is because they got swatted. For those of you guys who don't know what swatted means, is basically they got the SWAT team called on them. And that was unfortunate. And so now it ended up at Node, which is a good thing. And it was a really good event. But moving forward from that, IEEE hosted this company called N-Wave, which is also out of Dallas and England. And what they're doing is they originally started using TV white space to do what's called low power wide area. So you have Bluetooth, Zigbee, Wi-Fi, anything cellular even to start controlling machines all over the network. But low power wide area gets everything offloaded off of some of the other spectrum. And so they're using 900 megahertz spectrum right now. And they're talking about doing stuff that battery life and radio power from sensors can last up to 10 years at a time. So you can collect data for 10 years on a AA battery off of a sensor. And so they're using it for parking in a garage right now, and Jay's mind is very blown.
Yeah, it's like I was thinking just before I even came, the power of just how much data that you can collect is going to push the whole Maker IoT movement further than what it already is. And when you just said what you said about the battery, yeah, my face kind of dropped a little bit.
So there's a lot of cool things happening with N-Wave, and they're moving into this new standard. There's a LoRa Alliance, which is also low power wide area. There's also a new standard coming out for cellular and LTE, which is also allowing for battery usage to drop on cellular radios. And that one is LTE Cat 0. So right now we're on Cat 4 or 5, which is the fifth gen of doing all those IP packets and stuff like that. But now what they're doing is they're getting rid of all the header jaw and everything else and just doing pure streaming data off of Cat 0. So we'll post more about that in the show notes for sure. And that kind of brings us into what Trog's up to with UNT.
Yeah, so happened to meet this awesome dude through the Node community, and he's the Associate Dean of Engineering at UNT. I'm just going to read some of his bio before talking about this cool IoT project he's working on. His name's Dr. John. He's at UNT, and it says his research interests are in the area of environmental sustainability with a focus on air quality modeling and monitoring. So just from that, you can probably start to get creative and think of ways you could send objects, drones, what have you, up into the atmosphere to start collecting data and reporting on things in real time. A little bit more about him. He was responsible for securing over 30 externally sponsored research contracts, grants, and projects worth over $18 million from various funding agencies, including the NSF, Department of Energy, and the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. So after meeting with him just a couple days ago, I mean, he's really passionate about the environment. And now with his new position at UNT, I think he's been there for a few years, but he's actually got his grad students and some other students over there who've 3D printed custom parts for a drone, and they've ordered some sensors from Spain and other places around the world that they're going to be sending up into the sky to start tracking various types of metrics and just kind of air quality metrics in real time. So I'm really excited to see what comes out of that project. If you want to know more about it, we'll link to it in the show notes as well. But that's definitely really cool, and it's great to see that our local universities around North Texas are really pushing the envelope as well on what this technology can do.
Yeah, and it's really cool because a lot of the drone stuff that Trog's been talking about, there's another company called Drone Data that's based out of the old broadcast.com data center, and they've launched a bunch of platforms. So the issue is we're collecting all this data. Where does it go? How does it get there? How does it get crunched? And right now, most of the drone operators, about a good 80, 90% of them, don't even know that they can take advantage of the cloud. And there's already software on Drone Data's website and store and platform and whatever that is specifically set for them. So there's good SAN storage. Obviously, we've got encryption software already running on it. And the other cool thing is there's also a processing software for drones that takes drone pictures and automatically turns them into 3D topo maps.
Wow. Yeah, that's so
blown.
Yeah, I can't even. Yeah, all right. That's cool. Crazy.
So I'm going to jump in and talk about this hackathon that happened last night as well, a little bit more about it. Like Jack said earlier, it's the CanHacks hackathon. Kind of was primarily for high school students, but I would encourage every listener out here to go out to a hackathon. You know, don't be shy about it. It's a lot of fun. I think a lot of people, even myself, I was kind of intimidated the first time I went to one. But as soon as you get there, you realize it's just a supportive community that's building stuff together. We're not, you know, trying to like hack into bank accounts or like hack government data or things like
that. What? Not like,
yeah,
no?
Turns out okay. Hackathons are actually a fun learning experience. So last night we had, I think, about 30 high school students participate for, I think, 28 of them. It was their first hackathon. So I'm really excited that the culture is starting to take root here in Dallas as well. And, you know, you go out to a few of these hackathons, that's a really efficient way to start learning some new tools, collaborating with other people. Like there are some kids, you know, 14, 15, just getting on GitHub for the first time at this hackathon and learning how to code collaboratively. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's really powerful. That's going to help them with any endeavor, whether they're going into being a doctor or anything like that. Learning code is just foundation for just logic. It improves so much, and you can just look at the world from a different like lens.
Totally.
So I think what you're doing is awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, just kind of to that point, you know, it's not all about just kind of sitting behind your computers and coding all day. Like Jay said, like coding is kind of a way of thinking. And one of the teams last night presented something called Remember Me. And it was inspired by this kid who decided to challenge himself to memorize like all 150 names of his entire marching band. And so he developed this app that would actually help him do that. And it was really cool. They built out an iOS and Android version that lets you take photos of your friends' faces, make notes about them, and then it'll quiz you. And kind of a fun interactive game.
See, so, now just to add on to that, when you said "Remember Me," I automatically thought of Sarah McLachlan's song, and like just would basically be a perfect like little like audio clip inside of his app.
Yeah, no, it would be. And he's adding an audio next, and then even better is he actually got some students to win $10 because they used his app and remembered all 165 band member names.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get a demo of this.
Yeah, you gotta check it out. We'll try to link to it if they've pushed it live in the show notes or something. But overall, I think we were all really amazed. Jax and I both got to judge at this hackathon, and there were 8 teams that presented awesome stuff. So a big shout out to Bobby Docker, who was the organizer. He himself is a high school student. I think he's at Allen High School. So big shout out to you, Bobby, if you're listening. Definitely follow this guy. He's going to be doing a lot of big things around the Dallas Tech community. I think his Twitter is at Bobby Thakkar, T-H-A-K-K-A-R. So definitely check him out.
Yeah, and the other thing is his partner in crime also made all the weed vending machines work in Colorado.
I gotta talk to this kid.
This
like,
is no joke. So yeah, one of the guys who presented, you know, he decided we let every team member like introduce himself. So he starts telling us about his background and coding, and he's like, "Oh, by the way, I was contracted to build and engineer the weed vending machines.
You can't make this stuff up at all.
You really can't. You can't make this stuff up. So props to that kid. He was super creative, super lively, and just looking forward to seeing what he does in his career.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also just whatever is coming up next with them, he also kind of was picking on the fact that there are too many hackathons, which sometimes I tend to agree, but sometimes they're all a lot of fun and we get to meet new people for this reason. So through that, there is there's a hackathon next week or a week after. It's the 28th, right?
Yeah. August 28th and 29th. AT&T is doing the mobile IoT hackathon up at the Foundry.
And then the September 29th, this is going to be repeated a ton of times on the next couple of podcasts, but September 29th through October 1st, there's a giant IoT expo coming up here, and it's going to be at Fairmont, Dallas, and there's more details to come. And then, Chirag, you got something, right?
Yeah, there's a four-day game jam happening at the Node Friday, August 21st through Monday, August 24th. So if you're in town, you want to come check it out and observe, definitely come by the Node and just come watch. If you're an indie game developer and you want to participate, I think tickets are like either 20 or 30 bucks now, and that feeds you for 4 days. So
we can get some screeps like going on at this, man. Like, play some screeps over there.
Yeah, we'll get screeps going. A lot of these game developers have created a lot of their own video games, desktop games, mobile games, you name it. And a lot of them are coming through this organization here called the Dallas Society of Play. If you want to follow them on Twitter, it's @SocietyOfPlay. And they do a lot of cool events. A lot of game jams where they get together and code using like Unity and other game development platforms. And I don't see why they can't mix in some hardware with that too.
Well, no, they are. Actually, a lot of it's getting mixed in. So there's Jason Duffy, who I graduated with, makes cabinets, phenomenal gaming cabinets. I mean, there's been Raspberry Pi stuff. Again, me being the Raspberry Pi guy, there's been a ton of Raspberry Pi things and mods and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a ton of cool stuff going on with these guys. And check out all the cabinets they've been making. There's a lot of different and interesting ways to make controllers, cabinets, and all sorts of other stuff. So,
do they have anything online that you can see?
Yeah, I'll post it up. I'll post up a link. There's some really cool stuff there. And then also, I know there's another event coming up at the Noble Ray Brewery with the IGDA, which is Independent Game Developers Association. And then they also have... The best way to find out more about those guys is at 8 a.m. on Thursdays at Angela's in downtown Plano. They have open coffee club meeting. So I know all three of us, Shrog, I, and Jay, always go to the North Dallas coffee club meeting on Tuesday mornings. So if you want to find us there, please find us there. There's tons of cool conversations there, but definitely there's a lot of cool conversations around that.
And then last little event that I'll mention, it's called the Fall Tech Splash. And those of you who have kids might really love to come out to this. It's hosted by Tech Adventures. It's also going to be at the Node, and it's going to be really cool. They're going to show off some of the really cool robotics equipment and just hardware prototyping kits that they've been teaching kids with. So it'll be really awesome to see some of the projects that these kids have built again. And these kids are even younger. So if you thought the high school kids were impressive, wait till you see the 4 and 5 year olds who are already starting to code in Python and wire things together and build their own robots. So again, that one's called the Fall Tech Splash, and it'll be Sunday, August 30th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. over at Node. So it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there.
And also, Chirag, real quick, where is the Node? How do we find out more? What goes on at Node on a regular basis? Everything there is to know about Node. It's your baby anyways.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, all these cool things happening at Node. I should definitely tell you guys where it's at. It's at 17290 Preston Road, which is in far north Dallas. We're at the southeast corner of Preston and McCallum, pretty close to Coffee House Cafe. I think Jack's mentioned that's where the big DOCC, that open coffee club, meets up. So we're pretty close to that. And yeah, we're over there on the third floor, and it's a 10,000 square foot facility. And on a day-to-day basis, we have over 20 startups there now that are working on all kinds of software-enabled startups, like mobile app companies. And we even have some dev shops that are based there. So it's kind of a great place to plug in if you're on the north side of town, interested in trying to launch your own company or build your own tech product or startup. Definitely give us a buzz, you know, schedule a tour, find us on Twitter, Our website is noddfw.com. So thanks.
Yeah, and they have some cool meetups over there. I think one of the cool hardware hacks that they're working on is that plant.io. Yeah. You have to tell them about plant. Before we get off here, we got to talk about the plant.io.
Definitely check out liveplant.io. It's probably the coolest thing to come out of Node since we started. And it started as a just for fun kind of hackathon project that we've kind of taken to the next level now. So again, the website's liveplant.io. If you go to about.liveplant.io, you'll see the whole history of it and how it got started. Basically, the whole project is about hooking up sensors to a real life plant and having a live video feed of that plant fed to the website so that people can try to take care of the plant by clicking buttons on the website.
It's a slippery rope.
So it's gonna get crazy when we launch. It'll probably be in a couple weeks. We're kind of building the whole thing using Node.js, writing the server using Go. So if you're interested in coming and working on that project, feel free. It's all open source. It's on GitHub. I think it's just github.com/liveplant. And all of us meet up on Friday nights. We'll usually have a few beers and some pizza and just hack on that. And it's been a lot of fun. So we've been working on it for like 2 months now. It's getting there. And it'll be really fun when we launch it. Basically, you'll be able to go to this website and click a button that says water or click a button that says lights on or off. And you'll see in real time the robotic parts controlling the plant. Like, we're going to have prototyping boards linked up to a spray bottle, to light switches, like you name it, anything that we can hook up to it. We're going to try to get it to work in real time, and it'll be a really fun social experiment. So
that is awesome. That is just one of the things that you can do at Node. Like, I think that's just awesome. When it launches, we're going to have to come back and come and take a look.
Yeah, we don't know what the exact business model is going to be. I don't think anyone really cares at this point. It's just been a lot of fun to work on. But look out for that as well.
That's awesome. So I think we're going to go back out there and start playing around at Node. And I know Jay and I have a ton of things to go and do, and we might have left the soldering iron on. So we'll let you guys go. But thanks for joining us.
I will remember you. Okay. All right. Until next time, guys.